Here we go again.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Knee on Belly Podcast. We are your hosts, Nate,
John,
Brandon.
And today we have a special, special guest. He is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt. He is an MMA fighter with 7 wins and 6 hard-fought losses.
Right.
He's the owner and instructor of Gaha Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and MMA Academy right here in Kokomo, Indiana. Gordon Ryan once commented on his Facebook status. He gave me a blue belt, Brandon a blue belt, and John 4 stripes on his stupid white belt. He is our coach, but more importantly, he is our friend, Jacob Herlock.
That was a killer intro.
What's up, buddy? You like it?
Gordon Ryan did agree with me.
I know.
Because I said I'd beat Bruce Lee in a fight, and I wholeheartedly meant it. And he said, of course you would kill him.
Yeah.
That's like Michael Phelps telling you can swim.
You know what's crazy? I think we just covered one of my questions. One of my questions was, what's your proudest moment? Obviously, Gordon Ryan agreed.
Oh, that's
with
up
you.
There for sure.
I loved it. I was like, because like, well, at first I had seen it, and I was like you hadn't put anything in the group chat about it, and I was like, I'd be going nuts. And then you were just like, Gordon Ryan comment, no big deal.
Yeah,
like,
no big deal.
Did you print it out on a picture, like maybe frame it?
I'm thinking about it.
That'd be sweet.
So I was at a grappling tournament last night, and I saw the knockoff version of Gordon Ryan. I don't know if you guys can post this somewhere, but I don't know. Probably is that not him?
We will definitely put that on the IG. We'll put that on our social media. That is
wow. Yeah.
So, hey, you got to fake. It's like the... what's the dude in Bellator who looks like Connor? Kind of talks like him.
Oh,
Gallagher.
Yeah.
It's like you fake it to you. Or, well, there's other people, but we're not gonna say that on a local level. But yeah. Plenty of people who try to act like people.
Yeah, we'll post that. Send it to me. And we'll put it on our social media, which is Neon Belly Pod for Instagram and Twitter. But dude, you've had like a crazy like little past couple hours, so we're glad you're in here. Tell people your last like. 24 hours, yeah.
So here in Kokomo, we had a big snowstorm, and I work for the city. And so they're like, hey, we're forcing you to come in and plow from 7P to 7A. Mm. We got an hour lunch break, so we went to Mulligan's. Yeah.
But before that, like, even yesterday, you were at a tournament all day.
Yeah, so, like, I'm definitely not a nighttime person, you know. Training, bro, after training, I'm so tired. I'm in bed at, like, 9:30, just knocked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to a tournament, and... It was like a last minute cancellation, so they put like 500 people in this little place, and it was crazy. So we ended up leaving at like, I got home at like 5, had to be at work at like 6:45, tried to get a little nap in, didn't work, and then just like 3 or 4 energy drinks and a 44-ounce Cherry Coke, man. Got me through the night.
Fuck, here you are. Good Lord.
Yeah, and then they
good tonight.
Then they just told us we're going back in from 11 tonight till 3:30. Tomorrow, so that's a 16-hour plowing shift.
Golly.
How excited are you for that?
Not even a little bit. It's just you're going like 5 to 10 miles per hour just plowing.
So because now you kind of have an expectation, right? Like you kind of been through it a little bit, so you know what's coming.
Yeah, I plowed last year, and we plowed earlier this year. It's not bad, but it just sucks to do for so long. I mean, picture a 16-hour drive. You know, you're in Florida. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So are you going to be at class tomorrow?
Yes, 100%.
So, like, that's kind of, like, I guess kind of jumping right into it. Like, that is kind of, like, how do, like, you balance all that? Because you work, like, not just a 40-hour, but you work, like you said, for the city. So, I mean, you're out, like you said, picking up sticks and, like, doing all this crazy stuff and all over the city. And then you come in and train every single night.
Bunch of stupid white belts.
Yeah. It was a lot worse before I got the city job. You know, I was doing construction, which was 7 to 5, you know, roofing. Concrete, and then showing up at the gym at 6, ready to go. That was tough. So the city job's nice because I get off at 3:30. We have easy days. We have hard days. You know, the hard days definitely make it not as fun to get to the gym, but...
Yeah. Well, because, like, we stand on our feet. Like, we you know, working in a factory, but we also don't have to come in and, like, it's different when you're just coming in and, like, being told, like, hey, we're going to work this today, but you have to come up with all that mentally, you know, as well.
Yeah, I think some people just think, you know, we just kind of show up and everything kind of figures itself out. Yeah. They don't really know, like, all the behind-the-scenes stuff, like lesson plans and clean. Dude, I get to the gym normally around 4:45, 5 o'clock, and if I know the gym's clean, sometimes I won't roll until 5:30. But the first... 10 minutes is picking up trash, picking up shin guards, boxing gloves, focus mitts that left out there. And then we got to sweep all the hair, which is about 5 to 10 minutes, and mopping 5 to 10 minutes. And then you can't just show up like right on time because you got to let the water dry. So you have to be at least 30 minutes early mopping.
Right.
So, and then, you know, obviously lesson planning. And I know you guys are drilling the moves, but I'm drilling probably just as much. I got to show it 5-6 times. Right. And then I go to, like, all the groups, and I'm still repping it 5-6 times to all these guys. So.
And then, God forbid, somebody comes in and wants to ask you what we're doing and how can I join. You know, then you've got to, like, take off the, like, okay, I was just drilling with these guys, but now I've got to go, like, talk to this. Yeah.
Or they're
yeah.
asking about a completely different move that you didn't or even that. Touch on.
I'm pretty guilty of that.
Yeah. That's okay. You know, I don't mind doing that stuff, but so Matt Boer has, like, been a big help for me here lately. But he just had another shoulder surgery, so having him out was really terrible because he could help with, like, the newer white belts that, you know, really anyone can help with. And then I could help, you know, the more advanced guys that have tournaments or whatever coming up. And then when someone comes to the door, then I'm like, all right, Kyle, you know, show this or, you know what I mean? That makes it tough. And then that cuts into my training time, so it's hard for me to go. It's, like, really tough, damn near impossible. Like, I have so much respect for anyone that – is, you know, a coach, a competitor, you know what I mean? Yeah. Everything. It's so tough.
Because you are all those things, but, and, like, you've done all that. You're not, you turned 30 probably this year, right?
29.
20. See, so, like, that's crazy you've done. So how old were you when you actually took Gaha over?
It was right when we bought our house. So I think I was probably 23 or 20. I was probably 24.
Jeez. Just owning it. Like, what was that like being, well, how did you get to that point? Because I know there was kind of a lot of guys before, but.
Yes. I mean, I can just tell, like, the quick little Gaha story, like, from where my starting point is. So, Zach Armfield, we were in criminal justice class. I had watched some early UFCs. So, like, I was a fan before. I'm, you know, tried some backyard stuff with some friends just wrestling around. I remember I got one of my friends in a triangle, and it hurt my own ankle. I was, like, ankle locking myself. And I'm like, this stuff is stupid. It doesn't work. Yeah, yeah, I was like, I got my legs locked up just how they say it, and I'm squeezing. I'm just, like, ankle locking myself.
Yeah.
So Zach was like, hey, my dad's fighting. He's been going to this jiu-jitsu gym. I went the last couple of nights. Do you want to come try? I'm like, well, hell yeah, I want to come try it. So I tried it. I came back like that Monday. I think I came on like a Wednesday. I came back Monday. I bought like a 6-month membership for like, and it was pretty cheap. It was only like 180, 240 bucks. It was, yeah, Tony didn't charge a whole lot. I think it was 60 bucks a month, but you got like package deals if you bought all at once. And then my mom was like, hey, I'll pay for this if you go for 6 months and you end up liking it. And then I did. So then she bought me the year membership and I, you know, did the gi and then the no gi. And at that time we had just a bunch of dogs. Like it was a bunch of tough wrestlers on Monday, Wednesday, MMA classes. Tuesday, Thursday was like the technical jiu-jitsu stuff. And then we, you know, we had a really successful team. You know, we had guys coming like Drew Walters, for instance, he was coming 2 hours every Monday and was there to come train with us. We had a squad. I mean, just apps. Yeah. We had probably 9 to 12 of the top MMA fighters in the state, professional and amateur, every Monday and Wednesday. And then people start retiring. People move out of state. You know, is you know, people just don't love it anymore. And then eventually, Tony got his black belt and wanted to start a family. So he passed the gym to Mike Eikenberry. And then, man, attendance was really down, man. At one point, it was basically like me and Alan or me and Jansen just showing up to class. And that's then it's hard to sell a membership because some guy comes check it out and it's like me and one other guy. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, yeah, this is 60 bucks a month. I promise we're good, though. We know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't sell as good as having like a room of 30 guys, you know, training. And then Mike moved down to Florida and said, do you want to take it over? I said, yeah, absolutely. So for the first like probably 6 months, I paid like 100% of the bill of the rent.
And out of, like, your own funds?
Yeah, yeah.
And, Jesus.
And I had just bought a house, too, so I have, like, you know, house payments, buying furniture, the gym, and then eventually, you know, we moved a couple of places. I started to get a couple steady guys, you know, Alex Lofcheck, Damian, Kyle, Micus. Then we had, like, a core, like, 5 or 6 guys that was there every day, and we started to get better. And then it started feeling like the old Gaha again. And then we moved to Main Street, got a couple more guys. You know, that's when you guys rolled up. Brandon, you were with me on Dixon. So that's been, that's probably been, 4 or 5 years?
I think it was 2015, early 2015.
Oh, yeah.
Started.
Wow, nice.
Then we moved to Phillips, and we were like a legit team at by the time we moved to the Phillips gym. You know, we had, I probably had 15 to 20 guys roughly.
Yeah.
And then now that we've moved again, and then Matt's been helping me so much, we've really put in a lot of effort. Now I'm at around 40 members.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Going from 0 to 40, you know, that's big.
Yeah, because I remember Main Street, like, when I started, it was like, you know, we would have like 7-8 solid guys every, you know, like you said.
And that's a good, and it's a good class, man. There was times where it was
good
me
in there too. That room was perfect for it. I love
get
that
three
gym.
Groups rolling, and then that was it.
That's the butts. I miss that group though, or that gym.
Yeah, there were some grind sessions in there, that's for sure. You know, a lot of people think that you need this big facility. You know, that stuff's nice. It's easy to sell memberships, but you know, I use Daisy Fresh. If you guys don't know them, shout out Pettigrew Finding Systems, Jacob Couch, and Wiltsy and all those guys, they literally train out of an old laundromat with like wrestling mats that have holes in them and like smaller, like way smaller than our place.
Yeah.
And people are moving out to middle of, you know, nowhere to go sleep on the mats and train here.
Dang.
So you don't need like some crazy facility to put in work. There was times it was me, Kyle, and Micus show up and we would put a timer on for 5 minutes. You do two in, one out for 2 hours of training.
Mm-hmm.
I've showed up with just me and Kyle, and he'll put like no time on, and I'm like, "You've got like 10 minutes, and I'm done."
27 minutes later, he's like, "Just let me work on this real quick." And you're just glued to the mat.
Yeah.
God, I could talk for hours about how special of a person Kyle is.
Oh yeah. Well, he's gonna get on here. We're gonna make him.
Oh man.
And I don't even know how much he would even like talk about how special he is, but he is a unique person for sure.
I mean, he will like literally like drill with a crackhead if yeah. that was the only person.
Main Street, there were some questionable people that he was talking to.
Hey, man, you want to see this?
Yeah, Main Street was like Kyle's like petri dish of like, ooh, you. Some lady walking down with no teeth, he's like, bring it.
Yeah.
I remember that one guy, he like met at a gas station and like put him in the group chat immediately. And he's like,
nothing,
hey guys,
made me more mad.
If I don't stop smoking cigarettes, you guys are all allowed to beat me up. Like, who are you? Like,
my Lord.
That's come in.
The Main Street had some questionable characters come through.
Oh.
But that then just goes to show how much Kyle just loves jiu-jitsu and how much he's willing to just do it.
Not only that, he wants to share it.
Right.
If we're trying to get an open mat and there's only like two people that hit it up, I probably would just bail and go lift or do something else.
Yeah.
And Kyle will schedule people. He used to, especially at Dixon, he would schedule people periodically throughout the day. So he's going to get 2 hours with these two guys. He's going to go home and eat Chipotle. He's going to come back an hour later and drill with these two other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then when those two guys leave, the dedication, we would get home from a tournament. Like, I'd be exhausted, body hurt. We get home from a tournament, he'd be hitting the chat up. Anyone want to come work out?
Yeah.
And
I remember after he lost to, like, Rob. It was either, like, Rob or CJ. And he was like, he had hit me up and he was like, hey, man, you're like the biggest guy. Like, you want to come in and just like lay on me and side controlling? I'm just like, I mean,
when we first started, it was like him getting ready for Rob. So as soon as we start rolling, it's, come on, man.
Side control.
On his back, his chest.
Like, I do everything to get John not started in side control. That's a miserable time.
Yeah.
And that's what he loves. He's a freak, man.
It's weird. Yeah, it's crazy. So, like kind of going back to that, like, I know that's one thing I was like wanted, because me and you had talked recently about, like with membership, as you said, and you've been advised and you know that if you took fighters out, you know, membership could grow, clientele can grow a little bit, but you're like, no, like having fighters and training fighters is a big deal for you. And like, I just would like to know more about like, what is it for you as like, why are you so like, you do want fighters in the gym and you do want to be training MMA?
Yeah, 100%. So a lot of like, people that like I look up to like business wise and jiu-jitsu wise are like, you got, don't have any no-gi classes and don't want, you know, don't advertise that you want fighters. And it's true, man. Fighters generally don't have a whole lot of money to pay bills.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make any money for me to like, I've never taken a dollar from any fighter. I pay for all like the hand wraps. I pay for the travel. I take care of all that. I've never asked for like a percentage of Kier's like purse, you know, it's all his money. But they generally don't train year round. You know, they only train when they have fights coming up. You know, they definitely don't help pay the bills. You know, it's nice to get the free advertisement when Gaha goes 4-0 and we have two or three champions. But I, you know, if I really just canceled MMA, I bet my attendance would grow.
Yeah, because you would probably, like, I think what we were talking is, like, then you can kind of, like, get, like, your doctors and lawyer. Because it does, because, like, I was telling you, is like, I kind of like it, because I was telling him, like, when there's a fight coming up, like, the whole vibe, like, especially for a couple weeks, like, I was, like, telling him, like, dude, Foxy just flips this switch, Schaefer flips this switch, and it's just, like, it's just, like, this, but I love that. Like, I think it's so fun, and, like, I mean, you'll even, like, there's even times, like, you know, Nogi, you're like, hey, guys, like, guys got to fight this weekend, so this is what we're going to... It's more like... It's still like no-gi jiu-jitsu, but it's more MMA related. You'd be like, hey, fighters on the wall. You guys just, you know, get kill them. Yeah. yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's 100% true. You know, they're assuming a lot of the risk, you know. Respect really to anyone who gets in the cage, because it's... that's some scary stuff, you know. Every single fight, besides maybe three that I've had... I have, like, about thrown up, and I'm like, dude, this is dumb. This is the last time I ever do this. I'm just going to do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You know, but I love, you know, I love fighting. I love cornering. I love coaching. I love the sport. And, man, hopefully, you know, some of them make it big, and then we just go to Vegas on that.
Let's go.
I'm in for the long haul for that one.
Yeah. Dude,
we're like, I think we need Caden just to go for it. Little Caden.
Man. Yeah.
Just shout out to him. Just got his blue belt.
Get Foxy out the factory.
Yeah. He is.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh, he is a fish? Oh, so he's back?
Yeah,
oh,
but nice. He has some other job now. That doesn't sound very fun.
We just need to get, like, a Paul Wyman or something in town to, like, sponsor him to train 24/7. Somebody just with money.
Yeah. Brandon, you had a couple of good questions.
I want to just kind of jumping back a little bit. You talked about part of what you do is with the, you know, lesson plans for the day and things like that. So how much of just the curriculum... Like, how much outside work do you have to put into that? Because, you know, I know some coaches will go months and months and months out where they have each day planned, and I know other coaches are sort of like, hey, today we're just going to do this. So where are you at with that?
That's good. That's good. A lot of people don't understand, you know, the curriculum stuff. You know, you guys have been around long enough that you get the idea of that stuff. So James Clearman has a printout of, like, basically the whole curriculum. You know, it just is like bullet points. It doesn't have like specific details, like on an arm bar, make sure you're doing this or whatever. I do mine either weekly or monthly. It kind of depends what we have coming up. Sometimes I'll do it weekly, like if I want to, like through. So I think one of the big things is coaches need a role. Yeah. If you're not rolling with your students, how do you know what they need to work on? So like this next week, I know we're going to do some mount escape stuff because that's something Derek really struggled with in his tournament. So I didn't necessarily have anything planned for Monday, but like Monday at work, I will plan the whole week out in my head and then write it down. And then if I have like any coaches filling in, I will write them lesson plans with details like, hey, remember to talk about this, da-da-da-da-da, kind of break down the hour for them to teach. So like I said, it's either monthly or weekly. Nice. And then sometimes like Tuesday we normally have a little bit smaller of a class. It's like a little bit more... less structured. It's just like, okay, open conversation. Where are you guys having problems with? Let's talk about technique. You know, I can show some stuff if you want, but what specifically are you struggling with? And like questions like, how do you pass a guard? Well, that's just such a broad question. Or I'm struggling passing guard. Okay, well, let's break it down a little bit better. What pass are you using to pass guard? What guard are you passing? You know, it could be simple as you're just not, you know, controlling the hips or, you know, whatever it is. I can always tell the people that get jiu-jitsu, like, early, like, the white belts, like, the new white belts, like, Sam Zavis, 14-year-old.
Dude, I just rolled with Sam Thursday, and I was like, whoa.
14-year-old grown man.
Like.
Nicest human ever.
Like, yeah, we got to start really doing some stuff here. Sammy boy.
Yeah. His, like, first, like, 2 or 3 weeks... He was just asking such good questions that, like, I thanked him for asking me these questions because they were so good. And it wasn't like, hey, Jacob, how do I do butterfly guard?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, Jake, I'm really struggling off-balancing people with butterfly guard. I'm like, man, that the difference in questioning that for someone that's only been training a couple of weeks, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Sam. I love to talk about that.
Sounds like that invisible jiu-jitsu they talk about, like. That's how you know he's really thinking.
Well, every time, like even Thursday when I roll, like when we got done, and I think every time after I roll with him, he has a question. And I think
it's a great question too.
Yeah, it really, and that's what I was just like, geez. And then I like found myself sitting there like the whole next round just going through, I think we were talking like key locks into Kimuras and stuff, but it's like, geez, like, yeah, dude, like people don't ask that stuff really, especially, you know, he's a couple stripe white belt.
Sometimes they see the YouTube jiu-jitsu. So like when I first started, YouTube wasn't really a thing. You had to go buy DVDs or VHSs of people's seminars. But people are like, how do you do the rolling cowboy choke? I'm like, well, I don't know what that is. So just because some guy from
Delaware.
And it
probably is a different name. Like there's, you know.
Same. Thousands. I call half my gee chokes. So
yeah.
I mean, like.
Or you get the person that's like, hey, how do I submit him when he's choking me out?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to get out the choke. No, but like, what if I like grab his ankle?
Yeah.
He's got the choke. I got the ankle.
The funniest story is Keegan, man, because he's like, how do I do an Ezekiel choke? And I'm like, oh, dude, great. You know, I love Ezekiel chokes. So I was like, where are you trying to hit him at? Side control, like back mount, guard. He's like, yeah, guard. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So the, you know, one thing, you know, peel the elbows, break the posture.
Right.
Can you work from your hip? You know, you can threaten a couple different things. He's like, no, when I'm in their guard. I'm like, no, Keegan, you don't do that from their guard. Yeah. And he's like, well, it's just so stupid. I work so hard to break their guard and then just get it back. And then I just want to tap him out from their guard. I'm like, well, that's just not how that works.
Yeah.
You know, you got to, it's a progression system. Right. You know, submissions are easier hit from more dominant positions. You know, AKA getting around the legs, their main defenses. And, I say, Keegan, it doesn't sound like you need to get better at tapping people from guard. It sounds like you need to be better at passing and holding side control.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, you know, gives me some rolling eyes. And then, like, a couple weeks later, he's like, yeah, you're right. What really pisses me off, though, is in tournaments, he's so strong, he taps people
just
from guard.
Just gets the stupidest stuff.
He was at the grappling industries and tapped, like, two people from guard with an Ezekiel choke. I'm like,
well, I can't teach you anything now.
Yeah. But he gets it, though. He's like, right. He's like, I know I can. I just work so I'm big and strong. And I was like, yeah, well, hopefully, you know, that stuff's working at the blue belt level.
As he goes, that'll start changing.
That's right. That's what I tell him.
I think that's the thing with the
until
YouTube
he hits purple
stuff.
Belts with it and at like cross training.
Then what are you supposed to do then?
Yeah, it's like, oh, that. Well, I'm just like, that don't work on me.
Yeah. Come try it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like with the YouTube stuff, is it's like, you know, looking up like a crossover, like, oh, back and forth, spin around, but you're not getting the small basics that lead to that. So people are learning how to do whatever chokes, but they don't know how to get to it.
Right.
But if I get you here,
I could
definitely pull this one where I pull this over and do that. But that's where that becomes kind of.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. So I was talking to someone last week about like the progression system in jiu-jitsu. So like, what's the very first thing you teach like a white belt, like day one? Like, okay, this is what a submission is. What's like the first thing you teach him?
Are you asking?
Yeah.
I would probably do key lock.
Key lock side control, right?
Yeah.
That's all day. I mean, it's so easy. There's not like any movement. You don't have to move your hips.
Right.
You know, you basically just lay there and pull the, you know, get the grip, pull the elbow to the hip, get the wrist on the mat. Super easy. But think about progression, like reverse engineer it. So you have to get top side control. So what's that mean? You got to be able to pass guard. Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't know any guard passes. Not only do you have to be able to pass guard, you also have to get on top. So you have to take someone down. Oh, you don't know any takedowns? So if you don't know any takedowns, that means you will never get to guard that you can't even pass. So then now you have to sweep. Oh, you don't really know how to pull guard. You don't know any guards. So, like, you're learning from side control. And I totally understand, you know, the teaching a key lock is just, hey, this is a submission. This is how it hurts. Mm-hmm. Make sure you go nice and easy because it goes from 0 to 100 real quick. Mm-hmm. But it's just funny, like, the progression system, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like big guys, you know, we've had many conversations about this, that you guys have to be either you have two options. You'd be better at wrestling or you'd be better on bottom.
Right. Yeah.
And you can't be like a side control player without guard passing, without takedowns or without sweeps.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, I mean, you might as well not even train that position until you get at least one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And you know, it's what's also about that is you kind of have to show them some small submission stuff to keep them interested initially because, hey, you want to come in for 2 weeks and learn how to pass a guard? No, I want to learn how to break people's stuff.
Yeah.
But what I learned is, you know, Kyle would show us all these things and like, oh, this is great. And then I roll and I can't do it. Well, I want to do it because I've just drilled it for 30, 40 minutes. So now how do I get there? That makes me want to do the small steps, how you're saying the progressions, because I've spent so much time. Hey, if I get this, I can lock it up, but I got to get there.
Oh, yeah. Kyle will literally fold me into a pretzel just to get me to like invert on like, and I'm just like, so in a tournament, we can call a timeout, right? And you can come out here and throw my legs over my head.
Yeah, I don't want to start from armbar or back tick. I want to start from invert. If that's cool.
Yeah. He's like, dude, you can do this. I swear. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
Not really. Physically, I can't. Yeah,
that's good stuff. Inverting has gotten tougher over the years.
Oh, dude.
The belly gets in the way.
Yeah.
Much more of a top side control player now.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. This is sort of, I mean, jiu-jitsu oriented, but. Somewhat off kilter. So, what do you think is sort of the new thing that we're going to see coming up from jiu-jitsu, because lately it's been, you know, leg locks in MMA. We're kind of seeing the calf kick make it big for jiu-jitsu. What do you think is going to start coming down the pipe, or what's something that may make a return that we haven't really seen, if you had to think about that?
Yeah, so, like, you know, over the years, as you know, I'm a big believer in watching what the best guys are doing. Like, if you're a high school wrestler and you're like a heavyweight, you need to be doing whatever Gable's doing. If you are a jiu-jitsu guy, you need to be looking what Gordon's doing, what, you know, any of JT, you know, any Atos, all those guys. You need to look what their guys are doing. Man, I think we're in such a good era right now. So I was talking to the guys, the four things that I see winning at the highest level: wrestling, back takes slash back control, leg locks, and guys just being bigger, stronger, faster. You know, you're gonna have guys that are good guards, but, like, you know, the Barambola was thought, like, they were, I even heard rumors about people wanting to ban the Barambola 4 or 5 years ago because it was so unstoppable. And now you really don't see a whole lot of people do it, you know, besides the little guys, you know, Mikey Musumensi, you know, those guys still hit the bola, but, like, you really don't see it a whole lot anymore. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about banning it because it was so dominant. So
yeah,
it's just hard to counter someone that's, like, a good wrestler with good back takes, because, you know, back is king, choke is king, but then also be proficient on leg locks, and just having a guy that's built like Nicky Rod or Gordon Ryan or mm-hmm. like any of the top guys, really, they're just going to be, they just are strong. They're big, strong, fast, mean people.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. were talking about Dante Leon, kind of the same thing, like, obviously phenomenal, but just the dude is just a freak athlete too.
Yeah, and, you know, people are using jiu-jitsu so much, like, you know, for wrestling. You know, Dante's a big guy in it, and so is Gary. And I'm a huge believer. It's about the only thing I can do to Kyle is I will sit guard and then come up with single legs and come up to mm-hmm. wrestling stuff. So, I mean, people are always like, they've been saying this for like 10 years. It's kind of like the, what's that, little frozen ice cream? Dippin' Dots,
yeah.
People are like, this is the ice cream of the future. That was like 20 years ago they've been saying that. Like, when's this stuff coming to the future?
Yeah. And
people are always like, I think wrist locks are going to be the new heel hook. I'm like, not really. There's not enough control points for a wrist lock. You know what I mean? Like, you'll still hit it sneakily, but, like, with a leg lock, you know, Ashigarami outside, 411, you have such more control over someone's body mm-hmm. than just, like, pinning their elbow and bending their wrist back.
Yeah, I'm not a big, like, if I go to a leg, I'm trying to pass. Like, I use it to mm-hmm. pass. I mean, I love sitting back for different stuff just to use it as a pass, for sure.
I think until someone can deal better with these, like, super athletes like Nicky Rod, mm-hmm. I think we're going to just see guys get better at that stuff. Like, I think everyone's playing catch up right now to the leg locks and mm-hmm. the physique, because it is hard to put on 20 pounds of muscle. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you know, quotations naturally say, that some of these guys are.
How do you feel about
are.
These synthetic athletes?
There's a lot of
in
them.
Jiu-jitsu, especially.
A lot of yeah. cheaters.
Yeah,
I hate
how do
it.
You even enjoy it? Like, you work hard, you're in the gym, you know, a couple of times a day. You get into this tournament, you do good, and then you run into the guy who,
yeah, just,
they don't even hide it. That's like the craziest thing, because yeah. like people, you know, Gordon Ryan has an interview where he's like, everyone's on steroids at the top level, except for us, for the most part.
Yeah.
like, yeah. Like every
for the most yeah.
it's like they have like one tournament that they it's like IBJJF black belts.
Yeah.
They test
yeah.
at Worlds and but like, you know, if you're like with someone that's like has good gear and stuff like that, you could easily, you know, pass one piss test, you know what
yeah.
I mean? And you have a whole year to get ready, bro. One couple weeks off at to win one piss test ain't gonna do it. It's like you know, like people are like the MLB, you know what I mean? Just let the guys do steroids, yeah. put the fences back
Make
another 100 yards yeah. and let them just hit bombs. But, you know, then you got like the normal people that don't want to stick shit in their ass like me,
mm-hmm.
that there's just no way to compete with, you know, those guys. A bunch of cheaters.
I will say you'd be jacked though.
yeah.
And actually that kind of like my next little thing that I was going to ask you about kind of could tie into this a little bit, but there's a lot of talk of like MMA in the Olympics. Like there's been a big movement. Dana's talked about it. I'm not so much on the MMA, but I'm thinking we've got judo, wrestling, karate. I mean all these different, why isn't jiu-jitsu and what would it take to get jiu-jitsu into the Olympics?
In like 2010, if I would have sworn up and down by now we would have had it.
Just makes no sense.
At least no-gi grappling. You know, if you're, yeah. I get like a lot of schools, like in maybe Europe, Russia, you know, they may not train in the gi because they have like their own sport, but like there's like it wouldn't be a hard transition for a lot of these guys from Dakistan or you know, and
wrestlers.
Yeah, to wrestlers just to transition to just a modified no gi, like an ADCC style rule set.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, I have no idea why. It's entertaining now.
Maybe it is the anti-doping.
It probably is. Yeah. The problem is, if you guys listen to Jordan Burroughs, you know, and he made a great point on the Joe Rogan. He's like, yeah. Our government is trying everything can to prevent our athletes, and other countries like Russia is doing everything they can to encourage them to do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of bums, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree. I was just thinking, because like I said, they've been asking Dana, because I think Khabib was big into like getting into a sport, and they're like, well, there's just not a good way to do it, because you'd have to do it like tournament style. You'd ask guys to fight multiple times, so you'd have to wear like headgear or pads, and I'm just like, okay, that's cool, but like you could just do jiu-jitsu or even combat jiu-jitsu, I think would translate well.
Yeah, I think entertainment is one of the big things, and dude, I've watched some gi matches at like the black belt level, and it's like, oh man, this is brutal to watch.
Yeah,
you know, it's not fun, but like, dude, you can't go tell me those last ADCC that didn't have some awesome fights. But the counterpart to that is you have a bunch of jiu-jitsu guys that are just, I don't want to say mediocre, but when you talk about like Olympic level wrestling or like, you know, NCAA level wrestling, these guys are like high school level wrestlers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they may be great grapplers and you know, big and stuff like that, but their actual wrestling technique may not be better than like two high school wrestlers. So you get two guys that aren't great at wrestling and it's like a stalemate.
Yeah.
So that could be boring, but like I said, as the years progress, you're going to see the guys like Nicky Rod, maybe Wagner, you know, guys that are just superb wrestlers do well. And like I said, I think we're going to see a lot more NCAA wrestlers, you know, I picture going around Jason Nolf, you know, and Bo Nickel training in the gi. I think you're going to see a lot of guys like that. Like I was watching Tony Ramos and Dylan Danis on a little short clip, and he was trying to sweep him with the under overs, and Tony Ramos, a little feller, and couldn't sweep him. Like his base was too strong.
Hips got low.
He basically had double. I think he had double overhooks. He was trying to bump him over, and his hips were low. But I think you're going to see a lot more NCAA wrestlers that don't make the Olympics, like all Americans, stuff like that. You know what I mean? That are close. You know, they probably win a couple matches, maybe lose out in the semis. Those guys are going to transition when they realize how dominant they can be.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a career. I mean, because after Olympic with wrestling, try Olympics again. Like, yeah, I mean, with jiu-jitsu, you have so many different type of tournaments, different areas, gi, no gi, like super fights, like stuff like that.
IBJJF, and you know, since it's not like regulated, you know, besides like the IBJJF, you know, ADCC, but like, I could put on a tournament and say, hey, I got an anonymous donor putting up $20K.
Right.
Like, people are going to come play for that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, there's just a lot more opportunity to be there. Like, you know, with Third Coast Grappling, the WNO, Polaris, there's a lot of tournaments to keep guys busy and get money in their pockets, which is big. Because if you had told me back in 2010 that, you know, people had opportunity to win $1,000 doing jiu-jitsu, I'm like, yeah, maybe the high level, maybe... Yeah. Maybe Andre Galval, but not little Kyle Thomason or Schaefer, who's, you know, won a couple, you know, they won some invites, and that stuff's crazy. Like, that's like my favorite thing. Well, in-house 16-man invite tournaments, that's where the fun is at.
In terms of entertainment, because this is, so I think we were talking about this the other day, but what are your thoughts on kind of ways to maybe boost the entertainment value of jiu-jitsu? Like, there's been some things that have came through, like Metamorphs was sort of big for a little bit. EBI was doing pretty well for a while, but that sort of started to fall off. Why do you think that it's so hard to get jiu-jitsu to kind of be, you know, mainstream, exciting, and then not stay there?
I think EBI is doing, you know, well with the fight pass with the combat jiu-jitsu, but, you know, as us being jiu-jitsu guys, I'm kind of over the combat jiu-jitsu. Like, it's cool. Mm-hmm. I don't mind watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But I miss having Craig Jones and Gordon Ryan and these guys for a 20K in a 16-man, you know, invite. Like, that was, like, that's more fun to me than having a couple, like, six 10th Planet guys I've never heard of and a couple washed-up fighters.
Yeah.
Shout out Bobby. Just joking. Bobby's fighting again.
I actually watched you guys had like a charity match.
Oh, yeah. That was dumb.
Dude, the best part about that match was your hair, dude.
Oh, dude, it was so long.
You just need to bring that back.
Bob, I also announced. They asked me what weight was. I said, just tell him I'm lighter than Bobby.
I think we had a Klingerman seminar that next day too.
Oh, dude, that was the worst.
Drove up right after.
I went down to Bobby. So some of these guys know, but you know, Bobby has the same attitude. I have the same. I will grapple anyone at any time under any rule set at any weight. Mm-hmm. What are they gonna do? Beat me? I've lost before. You know.
Yeah.
I love the tough matches. I love the big names. Especially when I'm in, you know, training hard, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Bobby's the same way, you know, he'll go against absolutely anyone under like any circumstance. So for whatever reason, no one would grapple Bobby for a charity event.
Right.
Like a bunch of people pulled out, a bunch of people saying, no, I'm like, bro, it's a charity. Like your ego can't handle probably getting heel hooked by Bobby in a few seconds. Like I've been there, man.
Yeah.
And Bobby calls me like Thursday. He's like, hey man, I need you to grapple me for charity. All right, man, win this weekend. All right, bet I'll be there. So I drive down Saturday. Grapple. We had a seminar Sunday, and like you lose an hour of time too, which really sucks. So I had to wake up early, come back for the Klingerman seminar Sunday.
Yeah, I remember you. I think we ended up having a drill together, and you were just like, "Dude, I'm sorry, I'm just not feeling."
So
you
tired.
Were just exhausted.
I seriously went straight home, showered, grabbed my gi, went straight to the gym after driving 4 hours.
Yeah. And then kind of getting back to like what Brandon says, because I think that's kind of, we were talking, is you had a status that you made recently, and I was going to bring it up to you, but I was like, I'm just going to wait to talk to you about it here. But you had said that basically talking about how expensive it is to be a fan of MMA, jiu-jitsu, and getting back to what he was kind of saying with the jiu-jitsu side of thing is I do agree with that. But what, like, how do you fix that? Because obviously, like,
make it more mainstream.
Yeah, because like, you know, like EBI, Meta, like they've got to put money up to put these tournaments
you
on.
You
so gotta have to make money.
Jiu-jitsu is not like a rich man's sport. Like, you know, think about how much money other sports have. You know, that's one of the big things. You need some big players to come in, and I think celebrities are doing a good job. And I think it's only going to get easier. You know, with so many celebrities endorsing it, you just need people like that just putting up some money. Putting together real events, and they do, you know, like I think Fight to Win's a great event. You know, they do a good job, the lights, the stage, like that's really cool, you know, the WNOs, but it's hard to do that on like a scale all the time. You know, there's always going to be interesting matchups, but it's just, man, it's just so tough to get the everyday person to watch that just doesn't really care.
I wish
I had a good answer, but like, I think you just need more money to put into advertising, and you just need more educated fans. Like anyone can go watch someone get punched and understand that, but like to understand what's happening on the ground, you know, you're gonna have like the matches like the Rotolo brothers when they went against Nikki and Ethan Curlside. Like those matches are bad. Like Dante Leon, Cody Steele, like where they're wrestling, they're slamming, they're pushing, they're sweaty, you know what I mean? They're going crazy. Like, if you watch, like, when I was, you know, right before COVID happened, you've watched me and Fox roll. Like, it was like a scramble the entire round. Like, that stuff's fun, and I think people can enjoy it. But I don't think they understand how difficult that is to do for, I mean, even a five-minute roll, a scramble the whole time, it's a nightmare.
Seconds. Yeah, 10-second scramble. It's like,
when me and him roll, we get into a scramble like that, the next 30 seconds are one of us just holding, whoever's
side
on top
control.
Just holding on.
Yeah.
Well, I think, and you had kind of, when we were talking about it, you had kind of said what you're saying is he was saying like, kind of like how the UFC with like Dana and the Fertittas early on is they just put a ton of money into it to the point they almost bankrupted it and then got the Ultimate Fighter on Spike, and then they said that's kind of what turned it. So it's like
the Forrest Griffin fight.
Yeah. So it's like, is that what it's? Is it just going to be somebody just dumping money into it and then praying that a TV network picks it up to make it more?
I think so. I'd even like to see one of my favorite things. If you guys have never seen this, I would strongly recommend watching. It was the Jiu-Jitsu Kumite Enter the Brown Belt series with Lloyd Irvin featuring Keenan. I know you've probably seen it, Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because I think I told you about it, and it was one of my favorite things ever. It was so cool. It was basically like 16 guys. Basically, everyone was saying that Lloyd is protecting Keenan. He's not facing any real competition, da-da-da. So he said, all right, I'm getting 16 of the best. You know, there's AJ Souza, Daryl O'Connell, Gary Tunnan, AJ Agazarm, that big dude from the UK, Victor Civilario or whatever. Like, there was some really legit dudes. Mm-hmm. And, like, everyone win against everyone. Gi and no gi, no time limit, sub only. And they did, like, basically an entire day of that. And then they, like, all was back at a house, and then they did it mm-hmm. like the next day. It was like a 2-day tournament. Keenan ended up winning by submission against everyone. You know, back, this is back when he's at Brown, but that was like my favorite thing ever. And I would like to see, I think that would be really cool, like a Jersey Shore mm-hmm. for jiu-jitsu and jiu-jitsu tournaments. And I think, you know, Daisy Fresh is doing, like, they're big right now on the YouTube, mm-hmm. Showing, like, Andrew Wiltsy living in a, like, a 8x8 little sheddy bill out of.
So kind of doing, like, an Ultimate Fighter, but.
Yeah, like a reality.
That would be cool. I would definitely watch that. Mm-hmm. But, like I said, you would need.
The big
guys. You would need the big guys, and you would absolutely need. Just someone that cares about the sport, that is knowledgeable, that just has an unlimited bank account to put in whatever needs to be done. And I just don't think anyone maybe wants that mm-hmm. risk or even really.
Yeah.
I think the other wild card you kind of touched on it was celebrities. Because if you look at Jake Paul, Ben Askren right now, how many people are going to watch a boxing match on April, whatever it is?
Please, Ben Askren, I'm praying to you, please win.
How many people please do don't watch boxing and never watched it, and then now all of a sudden you've got a huge, wide audience. So, like, you know, if you had somebody like that jumping into a jiu-jitsu match even, maybe that could help.
That's why I do kind of like older fighters or even, like, not quite. I mean, as much as it wasn't, like, a big deal, but, like, the John Jones, Dan Henderson.
So, like, more like the submission underground.
Yeah. Or, like, who was it? Was it Cerrone and RDA that just did one?
Yeah.
Like, that, to me, I loved watching that.
Yeah, that's cool, really cool.
Because you just get that, like, I know it's the power of knowing who it is. I know these guys.
Yeah.
And then when you get to, like, the higher levels or, like, even, like, retired people, like, I would love to see, like, Anderson Silva and GSP grapple. Yeah. You never got to see the fight.
Yeah, we talked about it.
But you're paying for that. Right. Like, but when you talk about, like, I mean, you happen all the time in the gym. You'd be like, who knows this guy? And it's like, if he's there, or, I mean, we might have heard of him. He might have heard of him. But for the most part, it's nothing. But if you would have been like, who's ready to see?
Jake Paul.
Yeah. Or even just like I said, an older UFC guy, like Tito's rolling with so-and-so. Like, you might get like an older guy's like, oh, man, I love Tito. That's kind of how, I mean, you just got to make it familiar.
Did you watch Justin Bieber and Tom Cruise grapple?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
I'd rather watch Ashton Kutcher grapple someone.
You know, Keanu Reeves.
Video with both of them. That would be cool. That, or Tom Hardy, something like that. You know, some
or
people.
Who's the dude who played Al Bundy?
Jonah Hill.
The love and marriage guy.
Yeah, Al Bundy.
Jonah Hill. Show your old stuff.
I wonder
stuff.
If he still trains.
So, you know, Millie Bobby Brown's a big one, too, you know. Mm.
What?
Yeah, when she was in Stranger Things season one, I saw it, and she had, like, her first stripe or two. But then now that she just did that detective, the Sherlock Holmes.
Enola Holmes.
Enola or whatever. They used jiu-jitsu in that, too.
They use him in the other Sherlock Holmes, too, by the way, you guys. Or up on your jiu-jitsu in movies.
Yeah. Are you sure it's not Nicolas Cage jiu-jitsu?
That's not that. That doesn't count. We're not going to count.
She kind of gives off like young Ronda Rousey vibes. Like, I'll mix it up with somebody's mom when I'm 12.
Yeah.
Okay. I think having all these celebrities endorse it, and you just got to get, I mean, I think people now, at least mostly everyone, I would say the majority of people at least kind of have an idea of what it is, mm-hmm. even though, I you know, short term, it's wrestling with chokes and arm locks and leg locks.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, I can understand. It's a fight without any punching.
Mm-hmm. Trying to make the other person say uncle.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah. And then what, like, I guess kind of on the, like, the Millie Bobby Brown thing, what do you think, like as far as, like, women in jiu-jitsu, I'm sure since, like, you've started till now, it's grown probably a lot. But, like, you know, you may go to the bigger gyms and there's obviously a lot more women, but I think it's still something that could, obviously, you talk all the time about the self-defense aspect of it, but what does it take to get women to be? Because you're somebody, too, that you don't do a women's class. You're pretty adamant about, you know.
Women, like, training the men, 100%.
And so just kind of talk more about that. But, like, how can we get more women in to, you know, be comfortable with that?
So I definitely understand the purpose of a women's only. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's a bunch of girls, and, you know, they don't have any guy pressure, nothing like that. But the reality is, you know, and, you know, if they go into a fight, but, like, if they have to a real self-defense, like, sexual assault situation,
right,
probably ain't going to be a girl. You know what I mean? And you think that, you know, a little 135-pound guy, mm-hmm. or is going to be, like, a 200-pound guy. Like, I have a girl, Sansia, you know, she taps basically any white belt under 185, 200 pounds.
And kills me.
Yeah.
She's no joke. There's no,
especially me.
You know, there's ways I feel like I could probably get more women, you know, doing, like, a free women's self-defense seminar.
Yeah.
And I thought about doing it, and I know the very first thing I would tell people that this little 2-hour seminar is not going to help you almost at all.
Yeah.
You cannot do something in 2 hours and drill it for 4 minutes and think that you're going to apply that in the real world. It's like the same people that, you know, have handguns. Like, I'm going to do this, this, and this. When's the last time you shot that? When's the last time you drilled that? Like, when you're tired or fatigued or your adrenaline's going, like, mm-hmm. it's not as easy as you think. You know, like, I tell people you need a minimum 2 days a week of jiu-jitsu to retain, mm-hmm. to get better. 1 day a week, you can't practice what you learn. You're just a learner. I mean, you can get a little bit better, but not anything mm-hmm. that you need to. So if these girls think they're doing 1 2-hour self-defense seminar is going to help them in a real-world application, they're just fooling themselves. And people that are, you know, they're just making money off that.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to feel better. That's a false security blanket. Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate.
It really is. You know, I'd love to have more girls. Our problem is with girls is we always get them in at, like, bad times. Like, I'll have a girl, and then she'll be like, okay, you know, I can't wait. And then they'll stop training. I'll get, like, 2 more girls that come. And if everyone just kind of
stick together,
like, yeah. you know, having Sansi is nice because she yeah. loves jiu-jitsu.
Right.
You know, she's in here no matter what.
And would probably love to, like, have more that she could kind
of... Yeah, and I've talked to her, if you know, about, hey, would you want to do a women's only class? Mm-hmm. I think the big thing about women's only classes is you would need to do it. Like, if you just wanted to drill some key locks and some easy stuff, but once you learned a little jiu-jitsu, you know, after 6 months, you would have to go to, like, the everyone class as well.
Mm-hmm, right.
To really get a sense of how things are going to work.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what's something, because I mean, we've been in camps, but you don't really know, kind of we talk about, like, not knowing the logistics of things. Mm-hmm. So what, as a coach, what do you go through when you're getting, like, a fighter ready? Is it just working on their weaknesses, pumping up their strengths?
Yeah, okay, like, this is good. So everyone is different. Like, I never take, you know, a one-size-fit-all. You know, we have a game plan that most fighters abide by. Get the guy in the cage. I have a system that works really well. Take him down. Punch him in the face. Jiu-jitsu is really hard to do mm-hmm. when you can't create angles and you can't move your head because your head's jammed up in this cage and I'm punching it. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely not a one-size-fit-all, you know. Some people need me to yell at them and be mean. Some people don't respond well to that. Some mm-hmm. people need the encouragement. You know, we talk often about Damien. Damien doesn't do well with game plans. You know, you need to teach him a little bit of stuff and just tell him to go mess that dude up. Mm-hmm. But then you have a guy like Kyle where I'm like, okay, Kyle, this is what we're going to do. We've watched videos. We study film. This is the guy's tendencies. You know, this is what he likes to throw. This is what we're going to look for. And this is how we're going to implement whatever the game plan. He sticks to that, like, religiously, does super well. Mm-hmm. You know, we looked at, you know, when Schaefer fought Colton Jones, Schaefer is not anywhere close to the level of kickboxing as far as technicality of Colton Jones, but he won a stand-up fight against him because we implemented blitz striking, hard leg kicks, and good right hands, mm-hmm. and he followed that game plan really well and trusted it. Getting guys to peak at the right time, if you guys remember, Keaton was getting ready for his first fight. You know, he needed something to, like, flip a switch to turn over, and getting ready for that fight, you know, he had some struggling moments where I was yelling at him quite a bit, and I could see him not super happy, but I just wanted more. I wanted better. Mm-hmm. And then, like, it was like a week and a half out from the fight, and man, he was looking so good. I'm like, Keaton is peaking, like, right at the right time, mm-hmm. getting that right level of confidence, you know, and then obviously the show got canceled because of COVID, but, you know, he was peaking right at the right time. You know, you don't want to push people too early. I think one of the big things is you need to come to camp in shape. Yeah. Like, let's say we're doing 6 weeks or whatever. You don't want to spend 6 weeks cutting weight and trying to get into shape because then you're not going to hit the right peak. You need to be in at least moderately good shape coming in, mm-hmm. and then we fine-tune some stuff, you know, light drilling, you know, towards the end, you know, really just getting in the flow of things. I'm not a big believer in doing MMA rounds. You know, a lot of people, you know, we maybe 1 or 2 times we'll do MMA rounds in like a 6 week camp with the little gloves. And I tell people it's basically touch. And then you just use that to use your wrestling and jiu-jitsu and grappling with the gloves. You know, kickboxing can go a little bit harder. Jiu-jitsu, you know, you can go 150% every time if you want.
So what do you think about the no sparring
thing? Like Max Holloway.
Yeah. I definitely think it's for the better people, like the people that have been around a long time. Mm-hmm. It's just so hard because I've been doing it 12 years, and I'll go in after like we just sparred like Wednesday real hard, and I felt off. Like my timing felt bad, and it was only like 4 weeks since I sparred last, and man, I felt like timing was not good.
Yeah.
So I don't know how these guys are doing it, but I also wasn't doing a lot of mitt work. I'm sure he's doing a lot of mitt work, a lot of stuff like that. So his hands probably don't feel bad. I don't know. It's a good idea. I mean, there's no sense if you already have good timing and stuff like that, but I just can't imagine not doing any sparring. Even if we go, like me and Kyle doesn't like to get hit very hard in the head. You know, he had a bad concussion from boxing. So when we go with Kyle, you know, body shots are cool, leg kicks are cool, but punching, we can go fast, but it's basically all pull. Kyle just doesn't like to get hit, and I don't blame him for that. He wants to save that for the fight. So with him, you know, we turn up the intensity on movement and stuff like that, and angles and using his jiu-jitsu. But Schaefer is the opposite. Schaefer likes to go and bang, you know. He goes 100% with me. You know, he blasts me.
I know. I hope you don't mind me telling this story. I don't think you will. But at the Main Street gym, you were talking about Kyle not liking to get hit. So at the Main Street gym, you guys have probably heard this. I don't think you guys were there, but we were doing a stand-up class, kickboxing. And this dude's going with, like, a new guy. Who had never, if you don't want, am I cool to tell?
No, go ahead. Okay.
So he's going with this new kid that, you know, obviously hadn't been in ever, I don't think. And, you know, they start going, and like, I was going with Kyle, and like, we could kind of see, like, this kid was just like really like hitting Jacob very hard.
And I was there this day. I remember this.
Okay.
I remember this vividly.
And so we're sitting there and we're like, oh, geez, like me and Kyle are kind of just giving each other a look. Well, then I hear Kier like, hey, bro, you might want to chill out a little bit. And then because I think you were kind of telling him to calm down a little. And so Kier's like, I'm telling you, bro. And then, like, we're going, and next thing we just hear is just doom, doom, doom. And we
body
look,
shots.
This dude is curled up on the wall, like, damn near in turtle. And he is, like, fist to the ceiling, just teeing off on his body.
I gave him, like, four warnings. But, like, what was crazy is I will always start out the round by, like, not hitting at all.
Yeah.
Like, I probably won't hit you for, like, the first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And after that, I barely touch you. And I remember seeing his face was, like, anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he was scared. I'm like, bro, I promise I'm not even going to hit you. Like, my hand's, like, going, like, slow motion at your head. And then he kicked me as hard as he could. So I kind of gave him one back. I'm like, hey, okay, we got each other. I'm like, let's dial it down, man. And he did it again. And then he just fired, like, a 3 or 4 piece combo at me, like, 150%. I'm like, okay, well, this is the only way you're going to learn. And bow.
I think when he was like, because he was kind of still on his feet with the body shots, like kind of like reacting every single one. But then I think you did like leg kick him, and that's when he fell to the ground.
Yeah, I hit him with like 2 or 3 body shots pretty hard. And then he was just kind of curled up, and I just dropped him with a leg kick.
But then the timer goes off, and immediately, like, he's like, let's go, Kyle. Right now, we're going.
Oh, yeah.
And Kyle's like, dude, you need to calm down first.
So I grabbed the cage.
And he's like, no, fuck that right now. Get the timer going. And Kyle's like, Jacob, you need to calm down before we go, dude. I don't want you hitting me.
Kyle definitely didn't like to hit. Yeah, no one's perfect, but we don't do that as much anymore.
No.
Only me and Schaefer. But I'm telling you, man, that is like one of the only ways to learn control is you got to go in there, you got to do drills, and you got to spar, and then – you know, if you throw 100%, you need to understand what you're doing. I mean, people can really get hurt. So,
One thing I always tell new people, whether they're just there for jiu-jitsu or they might be into the sparring or maybe even want to fight, is like, be okay with losing. Don't bring an ego in here because
it's going to be bad.
No matter what level you are, there's somebody in here who can check you in one area.
Right.
Like, we have people who are great at jiu-jitsu, and as soon as they start sparring with the fighters, they all that confidence is out. Yeah. They might try to carry it over. It doesn't last long because then you get clocked and it's like, okay, well, I'll see you on jiu-jitsu day. I don't want to see you on the...
I haven't really had a lot of people with egos. We used to get a lot of it at the Dixon gym, and even Main Street people come in. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I actually did a trial where the other guy, he was like, I'm pretty good on, you know, I did judo for 6 months when I was 13. He's probably 30s now. He's like, it's like pretty good on the ground with leg bars and arm bars. I just need to work stand up. I'm like, oh, okay. So I was like, so you don't know there's levels of this.
Oh, God.
So what I would do, what I used to do with people that come in kind of like with an ego is, you know, it does really mean no good for like me to beat someone because I'm, you know, I'm the big guy, I'm the coach, you know, I should beat him.
Right.
So I would send Jansen, you know, a little 135 pound little dorky kid with glasses, and I'd be like, hey, Jansen, go get him. And he would tap him basically as many times as he could. But that lets people know right away, I mean, is your ego, can your ego handle it? It's going to tell them two things. Either no, my ego can't handle getting tabbed by a 17-year-old kid, or a 17-year-old kid just tabbed me, man. This is incredible. I have to learn this because a little kid just handled me.
Yeah.
Right.
And then on the flip side, if you go in without the ego, you get really good roles with somebody like Kyle who just wants to teach you over and over. And
I tell,
people love to roll with you so you learn more quickly.
The nicest people. I'm like, dude, no one has egos in here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you come in trying to think you're the baddest, it's going to be really bad. Yeah. You know, you're going to get tapped a lot. But if you come in humble and, you know, hey, I just want to learn, like, that's the experience you're going to be. It's going to be a great experience.
My first time ever rolling at the gym, I rolled with Katie Reynolds.
And she probably smoked you.
She was a blue belt at the time. She triangled me literally 7 times in a 5-minute round.
That's a humbling experience.
And that was when I was like, okay, I need to know how to do
this. Awesome. We have a friend named SJ, and I tell him, I was like, dude, I got a girl that would literally choke you out in about 30 seconds. He's like, ain't no girl choking me out. So Tori Johnson, my old roommate and best friend, Tori's strong. Like, no, Tori's like the strongest person at 165 pounds I've ever felt. And he has trained, you know, probably a couple handfuls, 10, 15, 20 times. So he knows a little bit. And Sancia still dominates him. He's like, dude, I have to do everything I have to survive. Mm-hmm. And he's way stronger and bigger than SJ. And SJ's like, I don't care. She ain't going to tap me. I'm like, bro, Sancia would choke you in about 45 seconds at most.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think like once, like, that's kind of getting back to the women thing. It's like, man, if you just stick it out, like the reward, like, you know, that level of Sancia is like crazy. But like while we're on the MMA stuff, we did want to talk, like, for you, like, are you kind of to a point where you're ready to just move on entirely from MMA? Are you thinking of another fight? Because hit record, you had kind of went through, like, you know, where you were at in your career. I do remember you were working on your first pro fight, and then it fell out.
Yeah, so I was supposed to fight Ronez McGrady, and I was really excited. I was actually in really good shape, you know, getting ready for it. And then the fight was less than a month after my wedding. So I was like, bro, we're playing for an all-exclusive, you know, Bahamas, Sandals Resort, all you can eat, all you can drink. That's not how you want to go into your first pro fight, like 2 weeks out, like drinking as much as you can, eating as much as you can for a whole week. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, you know, I just won't be able to do it. It's just a timing thing. You know, if this was before the wedding, it'd be different, or a couple months after. And then it's just been one thing after another. Mm-hmm. I think the weight is the big thing that's keeping, like, if I was 200 pounds, I would definitely be fighting, because there's really would be nothing that's stopping me. But it's just such a...
So you want to fight at 85, I'm guessing?
Yeah, or 205. I'd do 205 if it was the right guy.
And will your next fight for sure be your first pro fight? Yeah. I mean, there's not really...
Yeah, it'd be
because you're sparring, like, you know, like, we see you spar some of the best guys in the state. And
get beat up by Isaiah and Cam Van Cam, man. That's no fun.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, but those, I mean, you don't look terrible. I mean, you know what I mean? You know, no, you're giving those guys everything, too, that you got.
Just say this, you know, like, I've been competing out of shape for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. Like, right before COVID happened, I was in the best shape I've been since, like, my last fight. Mm-hmm. So I've been competing at the worst shape of my career for the last, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's, like, now we're starting to get back into the stride of things, you know what I mean? I mean, these guys are all just so screwed, you know, when we get back into it.
Ideally,
what I mean?
What would you do? You know, you want to get into a fight, you get one lined up. Are you going to, like, since you're kind of the head over this gym, are you going to other places to cross train? Do you have somebody overlooking you to make sure you're doing what you need to do?
Yeah, Matt really assumes that role. Matt has a good communication. He's like, I'm not here to, you know more than I'll ever know, so I'm not here to teach you. I'm here to yell at you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's what I really need. Like, I understand how to do all this stuff, you know, but I still have coaches, you know. Kyle teaches me a lot all the time.
Yeah.
You know, Richie teaches me a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, any of the guys I bring in, you know, Bobby, or we go to Kessler's, Klingerman, you know, I go train with Soto. All those guys always teach me stuff. But it is nice to have someone look after.
Yeah.
You know, when Dan was getting ready for that Van Foe fight, Dan was like, I just want you to tell me what I need to do, and I'll come in and do it. Yeah. I don't want to have to worry about me doing anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, I'll definitely bring people in, and, you know, we'll go to IBG. IBG is really the best fight team in the state, man. They just have so many good guys.
UFC. Oh, no. Well, Holbrook, he's out now, right? Yeah. He's out in the UFC.
Cam's like number, like, six or something like that, fifth, as for, like, a non-signed fighter
Is he training there now?
No, yeah, he's been there. He's been there for a while.
Okay.
He has a fight lined up, and, you know, Sean is obviously really close, probably to a contender series call. Mm-hmm. maybe, I don't know, maybe Bellator, maybe, but probably Contender Series.
They definitely got killers.
Yeah, yeah, definitely need to go train with those guys.
I know Lorenzo, last he was in, he said he's been going down there.
Dude, if you want to be the best fighter, say you got to go at least train at IBG, you know what I mean? You don't. Oh, you know, you can still be at other gyms, but you need to at least go there to train on the weekends or go hit them up because they just have so many good guys.
Yeah. So what are your – so we're in 2021, and, like, I know I can say, like, I feel – it seems like you're, like, focused. Like, you're definitely – like, you've been lifting more and training, getting back into it. What is your, like, competitive goals this year, whether it's jiu-jitsu, MMA? Like, what – like, at the end of the year, when you look back on this year, what do you want to have accomplished?
Yeah, I was training for Worlds right, you know, right before COVID happened. I was down probably 30, 35, 40 pounds. Was training hard, dude. We were doing like 16, 17 5-minute rounds at Fisher's every Sunday. I would do 3 or 4 rounds with Fox. We're doing 15 5-minute rounds at the gym every day. I was really getting ready for Nogi Worlds. That was like one of the big things. I think I would have a good shot at winning that. You want to
do it this year?
Yeah, they should have it. It's normally like in November, December. I'd like to do that.
Where is it at?
California.
Nice.
You know, I'd be open to doing pants. I would like to do an IBGF tournament just to do it, especially like the big one. I'd rather just do Nogi Worlds at the end of the year. I'd fight this year if they, but like my bigger thing is I care more about jiu-jitsu than fighting. You know what I mean? When I was younger, I thought I'd be in the UFC. And I probably had a good shot. You know, I told you earlier, I was at 1.5-1, ranked number one in the state. And then, you know, just life happens, gets in the way.
Yeah.
But I just care more about jiu-jitsu. Like, I think Kyle's really close to being at that next level. I told him what he needs to do to be able to make that happen. You know, I think Kyle could seriously go out to trials or go to another big tournament and surprise some people.
Yeah.
I really don't think I'm far, you know, I think an in-shape Jacob Herlock goes out there and beats about anyone that that I want to, you know, for the most part. There's definitely some tough guys, you know, all those Pedigo guys are going to be killers. Any guys from the Atos and the Death Squad, I'd like to do trials, but trials are so, you know, that's like 70-person brackets that get tougher and tougher as you go. But like I was telling some of the guys, the newer guys, like you get guys that we've competed, you know, Kyle's gone against Dante Leon like three times, and he's looked better every time, but I think Dante's kind of beat him in his head a little bit, but you know, he's a monster, but Dante's one of the best black belts in the world, like by like a lot, and, you know, if Kyle can give him a decent role, you know, I mean, that's, what does that say about Kyle and what we're, you know, what we're doing? So I told him, you know, what he needs to do and, you know, what I need to do, it's no secret.
And I think, like, kind of on that, like, I was watching, I think it was Brian Ortega and Henner did a video, and there was, like, a Q&A thing, and somebody would ask a question, but they were talking about, like, two different types of jiu-jitsu gyms, and they're, like, there's a competition gym, and then there's, like, more just, like, a...
business-style gym.
Yeah, and he's, you know, like, a defense, and they're, like, well, you kind of got to find your own, but I'm, like, I was thinking, like, I feel like you do such a good job of merging those two together, and I know competing's a big deal for you too.
It is. I love competitors. Even if we have guys that don't compete, you know, you still have never competed. You know, I know Brandon hates competing. You know, same with John. I think it's the best way, at least at the local level, find out what you want to work on, and just get that real experience of someone that you don't know coming at you 100%.
Yeah,
it's a great experience. You know, it sucks. I mean, I still get nervous for jiu-jitsu matches. Even on people like where I know I could beat, you know, I still get nervous. But you're right. It is a really, really tough blend to go from a business, because I want this to be my job. I want to open a business. I want to employ my friends. I want to do this full time. I want to quit my great city job with great benefits to take a risk. I want to have jiu-jitsu competitors. I want to have fighters, and I want to be a business. And it is really tough to find that balance of everything. But I had one guy come in. He was says, hey, I just wanted to check it out and see, you know, watch a class. And I'm like, yeah, you know, we got a good blend. You know, we're definitely, because he said he trained a little bit. I was like, he's an older guy. I was like, yeah, we definitely have a lot of competitors, but we do a little bit of both. Like, I got guys that don't compete. And as I'm telling him this, Kier had someone had ran him across the mat with the legs up in the air and blasted up with him. I'm like, I promise that doesn't happen. He's just getting ready for a fight.
Oh, yeah.
And,
As soon as, like, I stand up with Kier, I'm like, I don't care what you do, just do not lift me off my feet.
Yeah, you messed up when you said stand up with Kier. Yeah. I'm sitting on my butt.
Well, it just happens. Yeah. Like, sometimes you just go over, you just, like, end up saying, I'm like, just,
no better to get under hooks or over hooks on Kier.
Like, just don't let me
lift. Ain't gonna see me tied up and get tossed.
That's probably the most nervous tie-up I ever had when we had that drill where everybody had to jog
Shark
around.
Tank.
And it's me and him, and he's like, he's getting an underhook, and I'm sitting here trying to drop my weight, and I'm like, oh gosh. And then I'll get a good position, and I feel him freaking out, so he's cutting an angle. I'm like, oh, if I feel you start lifting on anything, I'm just falling straight down dead weight. I'm not trying to get lifted.
Forget it.
I feel like a lot of people, they have like this preconceived notion about like, we fight each other every day, and every day's a fight. And then they come to class, and like, oh, that was really fun. Like, yeah, I did like two or three rolls in it. Sucks. I'm exhausted because I don't know anything, but that was fun. You just toss some stuff. I learned some stuff. I got a little workout cardio and then that was into things. And I'm like, you know, it is what you make it. If you want to just be a casual guy that comes in and learns, makes new friends, learns a martial art, you can learn, use to protect your friends and your family and yourself and get a good workout and, you know, build camaraderie. You can do that. If you want to go out and try to be a world champion, whether it's jiu-jitsu or MMA, you know, I feel like we have the tools to at least get people close, you know, if not to that level, at least close. But I know a lot of the people, you know, we can go train at IBJJ, Fishers, IBG, Muncie, Impact Zone. We can go train at, you know, Nice Guy, been in the game a long time, man. I have a lot of friends and, together, I think Indiana is a really, really strong state, whether it's MMA and jiu-jitsu. And I think one of the big things that hurts our state is some of the upper belts not wanting to
fraternize with
compete or, you know, dude, there's like black belts that just like refuse to take matches they don't know they can win. Not all, but there's definitely some black belts in Indiana that like are holding a lot of people back or holding themselves back by not competing. Like, bro, you lose, man. It happens. Like, it's day one stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah, right. I tell the first thing, you're going to be the nail long before you're the hammer. And that's true at all belt levels.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have those dark rides home someday where you leave and you're like, why am I even doing this? And then you have some days where you just go home and you're like, that was actually pretty good.
Some days I'll have good fun rolls with Kyle where I'm smashing him and stuff's working. And other days that he just is absolutely destroying me. And I'm like, I suck at jiu-jitsu.
Oh, dude.
I'm not very good.
I've had like nights where I've gotten home and like, I'm like re-going through, like had like a bad night and I go through like rolls in my head and I just can't sleep. And I'm like, God, you suck. Like,
well, for me, like, I have days like that, but it's more like somebody like Kyle, like, my victory is I passed, or
I don't get destroyed for five minutes.
My last roll with him, he didn't tap me, and I'm like, bro, I'm not saying I won.
But I didn't lose.
You know?
But I did.
He pointed me. Ooh. Like, and then even on the other side, like, having, like, a good night, it's like, it's usually like, yeah, good night, but I hurt my leg or my knee messed up. Yeah. Like, it's definitely a journey, but that's what I do like about having
everyone's different. Everyone has a different journey. Your goals are not the same as Schaefer's or Kyle. Yeah. So you're just held to if I see Nick Fox messing up or messing around and not train hard, I don't really have to do that to him. He trains hard and I yell at him. That's because I know what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
But Nave, you know, if you're just kind of taking a couple rounds off, you know, it's no big deal, man.
I'm just catching my breath.
Yeah.
I got to go to work tomorrow.
Everyone's on that different, you know, different level.
No, but I think that's why I like there being competitive jiu-jitsu guys and even fighters, because I am competitive. And if I want to itch that without actually competing, I roll with Kyle. And I know if I start going hard, he'll turn up and then I'll know where I'm at. Or, you know, I know I can defend myself.
Talk a little crap to Schaefer. Yeah. Get him fired up.
Gosh.
That's how you get the best rolls. You get him all fired up.
Some of my funnest moments are getting him fired up, him like getting real into talking and then being like, you're never going to get on top. And then I randomly sweep him and then he's like, oh, he'll go knee on belly or just ride my back for like 2 minutes. And then I get up and get on him. And then
here's the thing, John, we only do that because I don't want you to restart on top.
Yeah.
Like if I get on top, like I'm probably just going to ride out the rest of the round.
We can talk about your guys' first roll ever if we want.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen ever again.
First high belt tap out. No. Yeah.
Yep. John tapped me one time at the Main Street gym.
Yep.
So at our Main Street gym, we had big mirrors, and at 6 o'clock, the sun always hit in the summer and it hit half of our mat and it was just brutal.
Yeah.
Like, so hot. Like, the mats would, like, hurt your feet.
On top of Kyle turning the heat up.
Yes, and I ended up putting a lockbox on the main, or Phillips gym. He was not happy about that.
Yeah.
I told him if he picked the lock, I told him I'd melt, I'd break a key off inside. Yeah. And John had me like up against the wall in half guard with an underhook, and he didn't know anything. And no. You know, you were bigger then.
Oh yeah.
By like, I mean, what, like 50, 60 pounds probably.
Probably.
So, yeah, something like
if
that.
If you guys don't know like John, that. He is he's not a small guy by any means.
He's a tank.
Yeah.
Not fun inside middleweight. Control.
Middleweight.
Yeah, he's a middleweight.
A bison.
Yeah. So John's has me in side control or half guard with an underhook. So, and I'm pinned with my back up against the wall, so I can't push into him and I can't hip escape out. I am seriously stuck. Hi. And I'm little too. I was only like 200 yeah. pounds because I think I was getting ready for the Gracie Nationals tournament.
Yeah, something.
And the sun was beating on me, and John just was refusing to move because he didn't know anything. Like he had no submissions. He had no concept of position, but he knew he was on top, and he knew I couldn't move. And we were probably there for like 2 minutes at least of me just. If you've never had like a 300-400 pound guy on you, it is just soul Try crushing.
It. Yeah. It gets worse.
Try
if
it
you
out.
Too.
Well, and it was like a 10 a.m. Saturday open mat too.
Well, no, because this is what's funny. Now flipping it to the other side from my side, I'd known you because from Damien fighting and meeting.
Oh yeah,
we
were friends for a couple years,
but I didn't know you on a training level because I'd only came in the mornings because I was working 4 to midnight, staying up till 6, going to the morning classes. Mm-hmm. So all I had known is rolling with Nathan and rolling with Kyle and knowing that it's all just survival because I don't know what to do. Yeah. So then you're like the instructor. We'd never rolled. We've always just had like a funny, jokey kinda relationship.
Let you in did I let you in a good
position? Yeah, you kind of like just like it was our very first roll. I tried to ask you a couple times and you'd been tired or rolling with somebody else. I was like, this is my one. This dude's probably going to be crazy good. So I just got to do what I can do.
Oh, Lord.
And then we just end up against that wall. And I just remember like holding and I'm like, okay, he might try to do something. Every time he tries to do something, I just got to keep squeezing. So I'm just sitting there doing all of a sudden. I just feel, all right, get up.
But like, I'm tired. All right, sick of this. But here's the thing. You do that once and you're just like, if someone does that to me, like Schaefer, he's tapped me twice ever since I've known Schaefer. Both times it was like our first roll of the day where I think we're just kind of doing like a flow round. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I'm like just kind of like, you know, being lazy on my back, you know, going 10%. And he sits back on a leg lock 100%. I'm like, oh, okay, you got it. Cool. Like now you get no more fun rolls with Jacob because I'm just going to smash you every single chance I get.
What's funny is like he taps on my shoulder and says, all right, get up. I'm looking over my shoulder like, who saw that? What did I do? Did I tap him? So then we reset, and then it's just like a minute and a half of me getting knee on belly and not knowing what to do. So I'm sitting here.
I've always wondered what it's like to have like Caden on you. Is it similar to like, you know how they say like if we're like ride horses, it's just like not very much weight on it. Can Caden smash you?
No.
Like can he make you uncomfortable on bottom?
Well, you could be tight.
Good question.
Tight.
Like you can be tight and make it uncomfortable, but as far as being on top of me.
Like, can I be heavy on you where it sucks when I lay on you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know.
But it just depends on, like, that level of – there's probably, like, a limit. Like, once you get, like, above, like, one set – like, I mean, because, like, Kyle, he's probably some of the worst pressure I've had because he just somehow, like, unlocked the key to gravity to where it's just – and he just found a way to, like, glue himself to you. But there is definitely some people where, like, somebody small – like 130 pound or something like that. My sweeps are usually just like getting my hand on your hip and doing that. Like
ghost escaping.
Yeah.
That's the favorite.
I did that to a couple people. Probably didn't think I'd do it, but I was sweaty too. So like my back was like, guess what? Watch this.
A little sub and side action.
Yeah. My first roll with, who did I, there's a couple of people, but we went with Carlos, that's what I did to him. And then he went on to like murder me.
Oh, Soto?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a fun roll.
I hit it and I was like, well, I got one technique.
I got so sweaty when we were there, like sweaty.
In Impact Zone?
And I literally went with him first. Not that it like.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, yeah. We went to Chick-fil-A afterwards. Yeah. Smash. Oh, so that's good. The perks of cross training. You get Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys unlocked the, what was it, the sauce that I, the Chick-fil-A sauce. I didn't even know it was a thing until then.
Was it that or Polynesian? I feel like.
Honey mustard.
I don't know. It was something.
I got it Saturday when I went to Fisher's.
I got that Dustin Poirier hot sauce on the way.
Whoa.
That'll probably be
I was going to put an order that. In, but it said it was like back ordered, so they're supposed to email
it. Oh, I'm sure they're back ordered.
I was supposed to have it yesterday. After that. Today. I'll bring it over.
Yeah. Sample it. Well, next Sunday, we'll get some tacos or something.
Yeah, tacos.
Do a sample. But, well, anybody got anything else for our special guest here?
I had one question I really wanted to ask. So, and this is, we'll see if we can make it not a super long thing. But okay, so you
we're good. I didn't. I wasn't rushing.
Okay, okay. So you were kind of in a unique situation where you started wrestling sort of late in the game, right? Like you started your senior year.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay? Yeah.
So I was curious, how much did that year of wrestling play a role or an impact in your mentality or your approach to fighting? Because anybody who's actually wrestled, been through wrestling practices, understands why I would ask that question. But that's why I wanted to see what your answer to that is.
That's awesome. I love talking about this. So I did a year of jiu-jitsu before I ever wrestled. So like the thought of, and I was strictly a bottom player, like open guard. I'm, you know, put both my legs by my head, guard player. So when I went to wrestling, you know, it was such a weird concept to not go to my back. I was just so comfortable. I would sweep people with butterfly sweeps and they get pissed. I remember Kier hated it. Mm-hmm. Like I'd get underhooks and half guard and I'd come up and take people's backs. And when I get guys like a Keegan or a Kier, I teach them stuff that they can translate easily well. Keisei Katami. Keegan's Keisei Katami is just a nightmare. But that's easy because he went from wrestling to jiu-jitsu. So we just taught him that one thing. He got really good at it. But now he's learning. He's doing X guard, lots of stuff. He's really loved jiu-jitsu. So when I went to wrestling, I thought Wells would kind of do the same thing to me. He would show me jiu-jitsu wrestling-oriented stuff, mm-hmm. and he didn't. And it really made me worse, but it made me better because I was not very good that year. Yeah. I mean, I think I only wrestled like a handful of varsity matches. I think I won like one. Like mm-hmm. I was probably like 2-4 as a varsity senior wrestler because I didn't have any wrestling. And I always lost to Bo Butler in the wrestle-off. I just couldn't. Like we'd have really hard matches like in the takedown battles and, you know, top bottom. We'd have really hard stuff, but he always beat me in the wrestle-off because he was just a better wrestler. Wrestled his whole life. And Coach Wells made me into a wrestler. A snap, you know, Kokomo is not known for being a fancy wrestling school. We are mean. We are in shape. We're good at basics. And if Wells would have just taught me how to ride, I didn't even know. It's called leg riding. It's basically back control. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know you could do that until the season was damn near over. I also mm-hmm. broke my hand halfway through the season.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So I was still, like, riding the bike, trying to stay in shape, and I came mm-hmm. back, and I wrapped my hand up real good. So my only year I wrestled, I had to sit out half the year because I had a broken hand. Not that I was that good anyways, but I really thought if – I didn't even know leg riding was a thing. So if he would have taught me leg riding – I probably wouldn't have got good at takedowns because I just would have exclusively done that every chance mm-hmm. I got. Wells made me be a Kokomo wrestler, and that helped me immensely. So when I got back to the gym, it was mean. Like, I'd get on top of people. I'd smash their face into the mat. You know, I never had that before. And then after, you know, I quit jiu-jitsu for the wrestling season. I tried. It was too hard to do both. And then I came back, and, you know, use a little wrestling, but then I got back to my bottom game. But now I was able to sweep and play a dummy guard and get on top and smash. So, man, it really helped me so much. And then I went back for the next probably 3 years. I would go back to wrestling practices a couple times a week to wrestle with Kier, Fletcher, Bo, Cam, all those guys for fight camps. So I still got that wrestling work in, but I never got to experience that, like, freshman or middle school to senior year level wrestling, and that was something I really regretted. But
speaking of Kokomo wrestling, shout out Alani. I just saw that in the newspaper.
Oh, you just saw
it? Yeah, that was well. I mean, I saw it this past week.
Oh, okay.
But is she compete yet or?
Well, yeah. She's not doing guys sectional. So sectionals just happened Saturday for guys at Oak Hill for Kokomo, and she's not. She didn't do that. She was just concentrating on team state.
Okay.
Or female state. Man, like last year, though, she really, you know, it was hard to win, you know, 2-time state champ, female state champ. Mm-hmm. She really struggled last year. Like she had it was like a triple overtime match to win in the finals. Mm-hmm. This year, I mean, absolutely ran through everyone.
Yeah.
I think the big thing is I think a lot of the girls were going up or down weight to avoid her. Mm-hmm. So she had just much easier competition because the good girls went up or down to because they didn't think they could beat her. I mean, she is just an absolute stud. Someone asked me, because if you guys don't know, Alani trains with us in the off season, which is not very often because she kind of wrestles year round right now. But someone asked me if she'll ever fight. I personally don't think so because she doesn't like to throw punches. She doesn't like to get hit. Mm-hmm. I try to get her to spar, you know, even just with me. And I'm like, hey, I won't hit you. Just throw at me. She doesn't like throwing punches at people. Mm-hmm. She likes jiu-jitsu. You know, obviously she loves wrestling. she's getting recruited by like the best female colleges, like where you don't just go. I mean, they come after you, and she, after being probably a 4-time female state champ, she'll have her pick at whatever college she wants to go to.
Possibly Olympics, maybe.
Sky's the limit, man. She's a hard worker, so strong, so good, and she's made such improvements over the last. I remember the first couple times I saw her when she first started coming, she would just do like head and arm throws and just like really basic stuff. I told her, I was like, "You're so tall and long and strong. You need to be working, you know, ankle picks and little sweep singles, stuff like that." And man, she just bodied every girl she went against.
Yeah,
what was it, last Saturday, 2 Saturdays ago, whatever it was.
Yeah, it's always dope to see stuff like that. Cause like, you know, the one thing about this journey is sometimes you lose people. You'll see them, they'll be in for a couple of weeks. They, you know, maybe come in for a couple of years, disappear for a year, come back, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's always cool to see people like that.
Yeah.
You know, you've been in a room with and had a tough day with, and then you see them do something good.
Yeah. Well, I think we're almost, we're almost at an hour and a half. So
can I hit one of those buttons?
Absolutely. Which one?
That was a perfect one.
That was perfect.
What's that, what does that one do?
That, this one?
Yeah.
That's the explosion sound.
Oh.
That's our little ding ding. Yeah. That's our Jamaican air horn.
That was the one I tried to hit. Yeah. If you guys don't know, it's like a rainbow of buttons that I used to hit.
No, we haven't. I don't know. We haven't. These are just whatever was stock on it. We haven't.
Some of these are
kind of long. Might as well just hit them all. Let's just hit them all.
Go for it.
Oh, there you go.
There it is. I like it.
Brandon's ugly.
Is that? Ooh, a little mysterious.
Okay. That's for Nate.
Yeah. Little fairy.
Princess.
Princess.
Little nature.
That's, okay. That's John's jiu-jitsu game.
And the thunder rolls.
Well, we're going to get out of here. We appreciate you coming through, man. I know it sucked getting up to, to come here, and you got to go back to work.
I can't wait for the next one. Maybe we were talking not too long ago. I said, I don't really follow, you know, I watch some of the stuff. I follow a little bit, but I don't even know half the guys on the UFC card anymore. Yeah. We'll talk about that next time.
Yeah, we'll definitely get you in here again. We, like I said, we told you earlier, we want to get you and a lot of other people in here. So we appreciate you coming, and I think we're going to get out of here.
Yes, love you guys. Sir.
See ya.
Bye.
Later. Enjoy the fight Saturday. Well, go boy.